Translation. Please also explain what may generally be the common religious affiliations of human society, as well as their specific occupational duties in religion. The classification of the social order, as well as the administrative royal orders, and the religious principles of one who may be in distress. Purport. The common religion of all classes of human beings, regardless of whatsoever and whosoever and whatsoever one may be, is devotional service. Even the animals may be included in the devotional service for the Lord. And the best example is set by Sri Bajrangaji or Hanuman. The great devotee of Lord Sri Rama. As we have already discussed, even the aborigines and cannibals can also be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord if they happen to be under the guidance of a genuine devotee of the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, there is a narration that a hunter in the jungle become the most enlightened devotee of the Lord by the guidance of Sri Narad Muni. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord can be equally served by every living being. Religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Rather, the basic principles is devotional service. Even if a particular type of religious principle does not recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the followers still have to obey the disciplinary principles laid down by the particular leader. Such a leader of a religious sect is never the supreme leader, because such a circumstantial leader comes to the position of leadership after undergoing some penance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not, however, require to be under disciplinary action to become leader, as we see in the activities of Lord Krishna. The occupational duties of the castes and the orders of society, following the principles of livelihood, also depend on the principle of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that a person can achieve the highest perfection of life simply by awarding the results of his occupational duty unto the devotional service of the Lord. People following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty, and thus there cannot be any questions of apada dharma or religion in distress, as will be explained in this book by the greatest authority, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. There is no religion save and except the devotional service of the Lord, though this may be presented in different forms. So, okay. Please also explain what may generally be the common religious affiliation of human society, as well as their specific occupational duties in religion. The classification of the social order as well as the administrative royal orders and the religious principles for one who may be in distress. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Shvapadantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya Desatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the chapter. King Parikshit is asking so many questions. The whole chapter is all based on questions only. In this sloka especially, there is so many questions also. Not one question, there is so many questions. So King Parikshit was an exalted and excellent devotee of the Lord. He was always situated in the highest platform. His glories are not simple. King Parikshit, by his birth or before birth, his birth, his activities, and at the end, all they are glorious. They are never some ordinary things. Like Srila Prabhupada, his activities from the childhood till the end, and it was glorious. His teachings were glorious. We always follow his teachings. Similarly, King Parikshit was a glorious personality before even his birth. Parikshito atho rajarse janma karma bilapanam. Srila Sita Goswami says in the Namisharanya to all the saints that we are talking about a great personality like King Parikshit, whose janma, karma and bilapanam. Janma means his birth, karma means his activities, and bilapanam means at the end of his life or his death. They are all glorious. And when we are talking about Parikshit Maharaj, he was glorious even before his birth. He was, before he took birth, he was protected by Krishna in the womb of his mother. It's a story I think we have known that how that happened. Krishna has protected King Parikshit. What happened? Krishna, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he lived there 4 months with the Pandavas. Because of the affection of the Pandavas, he couldn't leave and he was staying in Hastinapur for so long. And 4 months, can you believe, he was the king of Dwarka. And still he lived the 4 months with the Pandavas after the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was then, after 4 months, he said that, okay, now this is the time I'm going to leave to Dwarka. And you manage your kingdom. Well, he has instructed to the Pandavas, especially King Yudhishthira. And then he was ready. He was sitting on the chariot. The Pandavas, all the Hastinapur, all the kingdom, they were crying of the separation of the Lord. And at that time, Uttara was running towards the chariot. Running towards the chariot with great distress. She was coming, as she was coming close, not even she come close to Krishna, as she was coming close, she was saying, Pahimam, Pahimam Krishna. Please save me my Lord. This seeing the great danger, Krishna was asking, what happened? Then Uttara is saying that this Brahmastra, a big iron, fire is coming towards me to destroy. So please save me from this. Do not, I don't mind if I can die, but please save my child. That's the only one. And Pahimam, Pahimam, Mahayogin. So, oh great yogi, please save me. I don't mind if I will be die with this weapon, but please save this child who is within my womb. At the same time, then Krishna saw that another five arrows are coming towards the Pandavas. Pandavas, they took their weapons also, but they didn't know that it is the Brahmastra sent by Aswatthama. And Krishna knew that it was Aswatthama, then he immediately nullified the Brahmastra. And the Leela here is so beautiful. Srila Sridhar Swami narrates beautifully in the Bhagavatam that Krishna was sitting on his chariot, and same time the same Krishna expand himself to another Krishna and enter into Uttara's womb through her nostril. So this is the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A great devotee was saved on that day. He was sitting on the chariot, same time he nullified the five arrows which was coming into towards the Pandavas, and as well as enter into the womb of the Uttara. And it's very beautifully Suta Goswami explains antastha sarvabhutanam atma yogeshwara hari swa maya yabrinat garbo vairatya kurutantave. Antastha, so the Lord, the Supreme Lord is within everyone's heart. Antastha sarvabhutanam, everyone's heart, every living being's heart he is living. Antastha sarvabhutanam atma yogeshwara hari swa maya yabrinat garbo vairatya kurutantave. So he was enter into the womb and cover the womb with his own hands. And what else? He has destroyed the Brahmastra after covering the womb. And how he destroyed the Brahmastra? Sudarsanena, Swastrena. Two words are being used. Sudarsana, in his own dish, Sudarsana, called Sudarsana. And Swastrena means in his own weapon. What else the weapon? The club. So the Lord has used his club to destroy the Brahmastra. So Parikshit Maharaj was protected there. After the protection, then what happens? In Naimisharanya, the Sanaka and all the great saints, they were so surprised. Surprised that how a Brahmastra can be nullified by other weapons. It's never happened in the past. And how that can happen? So they were asking the question. They were not asking the question, they were so surprised. They got so surprised. Brahmastra got nullified by just other weapons. How it is possible? So here, Suta Goswami says that don't be so surprised that the Brahmastra got nullified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can change anything. The law is that a Brahmastra can be only nullified by another Brahmastra. There is no other way the Brahmastra can be nullified. But here, the Brahmastra got nullified by the Sudarsana and the clove. So they were surprised. So Suta Goswami was explaining in details. So someone can ask the question. Krishna, he was outside. He could have easily protected King Parikshit. Why he has to enter into the womb of Uttara? Srila Sudarswami was explaining in his Bhagavatam. He is saying that someone can question that why Krishna has entered into the womb of Uttara. He was staying, he was outside, he could have easily protected, he protected the Pandavas. Why he has not protected the small, you know, the baby who was within the womb of Uttara? So he's saying that, you know, because Krishna loved this child before even his birth, and he wanted to give his special blessings. That's why he entered into the womb of Uttara. Otherwise, he doesn't need that. He was quite capable to nullify. He already nullified the five weapons coming towards the Pandavas. Why not? He could have nullified another one. But he has to enter into the womb of Uttara so that he is showing his love for King Parikshit. So that's the glorious personality of Parikshit Maharaj, who was within the womb, already had the great darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was, someone can say also, why, you know, Krishna has to go within the womb. You know, not only that, there is another point also. Srila Sridhar Swami says that, I'm forgetting that. Anyways, when it comes to my mind, I will tell you. But that's the way he was protected. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was speaking the Bhagavatam. About to speak the Bhagavatam, we can say. He has already narrated quite a lot of things beforehand. And here, does anyone know where Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam? No, that was Suta Goswami spoke the, yeah. Bank of Yamuna, a place, a place called Sukratal. So beautiful place. About 27 years ago, I have been there. I was visiting that place where Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam. It's a wonderful place. It's near a small village called Mirapur in Hastinapur. So that area is Hastinapur area. Delhi is the area Indraprastha, and that area is Hastinapur. And the Ganga was just, when Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam, that time the Ganga was right next to the place where it was flowing. Now it is about a kilometer far. Ganga is a kilometer far from that place, because the rivers, they move their directions time to time. And it's a really highest platform. We have visited that time. It was in the summer time. You know, summer in India, it is 50 degrees centigrade. It can be. And we visited there. It was so hot that day. And as soon as we reached there, there is a temple. And there is a highest peak where Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam. And that time, that place, it was so cool. There is a banyan tree, big tree, still alive, that same tree where it was before. And Sukadeva Goswami sat under the tree and he spoke. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lachman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So around that area it was so hot, but when we sat on the near the place where Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam, it was so nice and cool breeze was coming. It was so different feeling. What an amazing feeling that was. So this is the narration of the personality of Sukadeva Goswami. So he was born right after that, the incident, and then his activities, Parikshit Maharaj's activities were also glorious. When he born, he was always looking for the Supreme Personality of Godhead who saved him within the womb of the mother. Anytime anyone was visiting, seeing the baby, he would look, is he the personality who saved me? Then he would say, no, he is not the personality. So he knew beforehand who was the personality saved him. So anytime who was going to visit him, he would always look at him. So before, when he took birth, his name was Vishnurath. Vishnu, he was protected by the Vishnu. So that's why his name was called Vishnurath. King Parikshit's one name was Vishnurath. He was protected by Lord Vishnu. But what happened? Because he was examining in everyone, the personality who saved me is this person. He would look at everyone. Because of examining, and his name was called Parikshit. It's a Sanskrit word, Parita Ichchana, two words, Parita Ichchana iti Parikshit. So there is two words. So he was examining in everyone. So that's why he was called Parikshit. So King Parikshit, he was so Krishna consciousness before even he was born. And at the when he born, he was, his mind was totally observed the in the in a merge into the Krishna consciousness, always remembering of Krishna who was protected him within the womb. Then he became the king, and he was taking care of his kingdom so seriously. The king, citizens of the Bharatvarsa was thinking he is the father. No one is equal to a great father like him. So that much respect he was getting from his kingdom. And even he got cursed. King Parikshit, Parikshito Atho Rajarsi, he was a Rajarsi, a royal saintly order personality. He's a saint. So when he got cursed by Sringi, he could have cursed him back. He had that much power. King Parikshit had the power to curse him back. But he didn't do that. He thought that maybe this is the providence has created for me. So this is the time I should leave my body. He didn't feel at all any sorrow, any pain. He immediately left the kingdom. Then he came to the bank of Ganga, and here there was where all the saints, they found out that King Parikshit got the curse and he's going to leave the body in 7 days. And that's why let's all go see the great king beforehand, before he is leaving. So they all came, including Narada, including Vyasadeva. Everyone was there. And some great saints, they said that, oh, you enter into the forest, you know, do the tapasya. That's because king was asking, what should I do now? I have only 7 days left. So there was so many suggestions he was getting. But at the end, Sukadeva Goswami entered into the arena. As soon he enters, all the great saints, they stood up out of respect. And Sukadeva Goswami said, the same question was being asked to Sukadeva Goswami. And then Sukadeva Goswami said that you don't need to go anywhere. Sit here and hear the Bhagavat Katha, and that's all you need to do. And every saint there present, they accepted that. No one said that, no, you should not do that. Every saint there present, they have accepted that suggestion. And hence the Bhagavatam was spoken by the great saint like Sukadeva Goswami. We are going to keep here, because there is two other things we have to speak a little bit about: Ramachandra Kaviraj and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Today is the disappearance day of Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra Kaviraj is a great devotee, great associate of Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. He born in the village Srikhanda. His father's name was Chiranjeeva Sen and mother was Sunanda Dasi, Sunanda Devi. Chiranjeeva Sen, he didn't live that long. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So we can, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 11, we will find out many narrations of Chiranjeeva Sen. So Ramachandra Kaviraj was, his name was not Kaviraj before. The title was given later. His name was Ramachandra Sen. And Ramachandra Sen's another brother was Sri Govinda Sen. Maybe you know Sri Govinda Das, he has compiled a beautiful bhajan. They have written so many bhajans, both the brothers. Bhaja Hure Mano, Sri Nanda Nandana, Abhayachara Naravindare. That's by Govinda Das. So that's a beautiful bhajan by Govinda Das, who has sang. And Ramachandra Kaviraj was, when he grown up, he was living with his grandfather, Damodar Kaviraj. He was a great worshipper of Bhavani, Durga. So he was a Sakta, his grandfather. So he was worshipping, he was living with his grandfather because Chiranjeeva Sen has died very early. So that's why they were living with the grandfather. And they were, the both the brothers were influenced by the grandfather and they started being the Saktas or worshipping Durga. In this meantime, Ramachandra Kaviraj is getting younger as the marriageable age. One day he has gone to the place where he should supposed to be getting married. He was coming with his wife in the palanquin. On the way back to his Srikhanda, so he was coming in the palanquin, and he saw Srinivas Acharya is giving the Bhagavat class to Narottam Das Thakur and another so many devotees. So they were sitting on the veranda of Srinivas Acharya's house, and Srinivas Acharya was a great speaker of Bhagavatam. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sometimes listening to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen the Bhagavatam from Srinivas Acharya as well as Gadadhar Pandit in Puri, Tota Gopinath Temple. So they are great speakers. So he was, Ramachandra Kaviraj was coming in back to his home after getting married with his newly married wife. In the palanquin, he saw Srinivas Acharya on the way. As soon as he saw, his body was tremoring and his hair was turning, you know. So all the eight type of the, you know, symptoms of a devotee, how that happens, just by seeing Srinivas Acharya, that happened. And Srinivas Acharya also saw Ramachandra and said that, who is this person? He inquired from his associates, who is this person? They said that, oh, he's a very reputed person. He's a great poet and he's also a great Ayurvedic doctor, physician. So he just saw, Srinivas Acharya saw Ramachandra and smiled at him. That's all. But that smile was carried by Ramachandra Kaviraj to the house. He was thinking, I want to see this person. Somehow, you know, he came to the home. He was not thinking anything except Srinivas Acharya. Throughout the night, as soon the morning come, he left his house and early morning he reached to Srinivas Acharya. and talk to him, and then later he become a disciple of Srinivasa Acharya. So that's the way Srinivasa Acharya initiated him, and then he started writing so many poets of Krishna. Govinda Das saw this situation, you know, that my older brother Ramachandra become a great devotee and I'm here worshipping Durga. What should I do? He was in a dilemma. He was thinking, I feel like I should be a devotee of Krishna, but you know, my grandfather has taught me these things, that I should be a Sakta. What should I do? He was having the duality in his mind. Then at night, Bhavani Durga came in his dream, said that, you know what? You should be a devotee of Krishna. Go to Srinivasa Acharya and ask for getting initiation. And that will please me. If you don't go there, then I will curse you. So next day morning he got up and he has gone to Srinivasa Acharya for asking initiation. Then that's a long story. I'm just making it brief so that the both brothers, they have got the initiation. And you can see then Narottam Das Thakur, Ramachandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur, they become so close friends. Maybe you know the great bhajan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karumare. At the end of the bhajan, he said that, Daya Karo Sri Acharya, Prabhu Srinivas, Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Das. O great saint Sri Acharya Srinivas, please give me that blessing that I can get the association of Ramachandra all my birth after birth. So that's the glories of the Ramachandra Kaviraj. Then coming back to Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami's appearance day. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami appeared in 1503 in the Krishna Paksha. There is in a month, there is Shukla Paksha, 15 days, and Krishna Paksha. So Shukla Paksha is the full moon, you know, the 15 days of the full moon. And the Krishna Paksha is the dark 15 days. So the 13th day of the dark Krishna Paksha, in 1505, Gopal Bhatta Goswami took birth in Srirangam, in South India. Anyone visited Srirangam? What a wonderful deity, Srirangam, Ranganathji. So, his father was Venkata Bhatta. Venkata Bhatta was a great learned scholar, and his brother Prabodhanand Saraswati also a very learned scholar. They both were the Brahmins and they were the head pujaris of Ranganathji, the Lord Ranganath or Vishnu. They were worshipping there. And in that time, Gopal Bhatta was, his name was Gopal, but Venkata Bhatta's son, so Goswami title came later. And Gopal Bhatta was a young boy. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Srirangam and he started singing the kirtan in the temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing, doing the kirtan. By doing his kirtan, he was totally merged. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't know anything around him. And the Brahmins in the Srirangam, they have also attend the kirtan. They started dancing and jumping the beautiful kirtan. And they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how beautiful he is looking. And they, you know, then Venkata Bhatta thought that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am directly seeing him. Venkata Bhatta was there, the father of Gopal Bhatta. Then he pushed all the crowd and he entered so close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started dancing next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At one point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost his consciousness. As usual, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometime when he will come to his Mahabhav, then he would lost his consciousness. and after gaining the consciousness, Venkat Bhat requested the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, please come stay in my house. So that's the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed, because he knows that, you know, Venkat Bhat is a great devotee of the Lord, and he is the head pujari of Ranganathji. So Gopal Bhatta started serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was a young boy, he would bring, clean the cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bring water for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many services he would do. And in return, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give, after he is taking the prasadam, then he will say that this will be taken by Gopal Bhatta only. So that all his remnants will be go to Gopal Bhatta and he will enjoy the remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by that way, the seed was already planted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And by after 4 months passed away, the four rain season months, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived there. He was doing the kirtan. Gopal Bhatta Goswami would participate in the kirtan along with so many other devotees and the father Venkat Bhatta. Before he was preparing to leave, he instructed Gopal Bhatta Goswami, said that now you serve your father and mother. Once they will leave their body, you come to Vrindavan and you stay there throughout your life. So that's the way Gopal Bhatta Goswami was instructed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's mind was totally absorbed in the, at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the day will come, I will go to Vrindavan and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the time came, the mother and father, they were at the last breath, they have instructed, now you should go, after you do all the last rites of us, go to Vrindavan and do your sadhana. So that's the father and mother, they have instructed. Soon after the mother and father passed away, Gopal Bhatta Goswami came to Vrindavan and met with Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami said that, we are waiting for you. Now you came, we are so happy. And then they sent a messenger to Puri, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri. And send a messenger that Gopal Bhatta has reached Vrindavan and we accepted him like our brother. That was the beautiful way they have explained to messenger, and the messenger went to Puri. And by that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing the Bhagavat Katha from Gadadhar Pandit in Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath, anybody visited Tota Gopinath in Puri? The Lord has formed his body. He was very tall. Tota Gopinath was a tall deity. And for Gadadhar Pandit, because he became old, and he said that, I can't serve you anymore, so I have to look for a new pujari, or you look for a new pujari to serve you. And Tota Gopinath said that, Gadadhar, I only want from you the service. I don't know anyone. I don't want to ask anyone. Only you serve me. And Gadadhar Pandit said that, dear Lord, you saw I'm getting old. I can't reach even you now up. I can't put you a garland even. I'm getting older now. What can I do? I can't even serve. Then he said, you don't worry. You serve me. And next day morning, Gadadhar Pandit came to the temple to worship. And by that time, the Lord was sitting on the floor. So that's the beautiful deity. Maybe you can see. I'm briefly, you know, just giving the brief explanation of the Tota Gopinath. So the Lord was hearing the Bhagavatam class from Gadadhar Pandit and lamenting same time that, you know, what happened to Gopal Bhatta? I left him there. Did he come or not? So anyways, you know, while lamenting, a messenger comes. This is the pastime of the Lord, isn't it? You know, so the messenger comes and says that, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta has come, and Rupa and Sanatan Goswami has accepted him like his brother, like their brothers. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased by hearing that message, that he was accepted and received like the brother. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the upper cloth and the kopin. Here, take this, and now he should be called Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So he was initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The sannyas cloth was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami then, after wearing the sannyas cloth, he started visiting different places. Then he visited Gandaki River. Now it is in Nepal, where he got, I think, 8 or 9 salagram silas. He brought them back to Vrindavan. He was worshipping them. He was making a bag and keeping the salagrams on his, you know, like a garland, keeping on his body. And he was worshipping. One day, a rich man came to Vrindavan, distributing the outfits and jewelries for the deities to all the saints, those who had the deities. And he also reached to Gopal Bhatt Goswami and said that here the deity dress, outfits, as well as the jewelries for your deities. Gopal Bhatt Goswami accepted them because it is nice to accept someone is giving you some devotional paraphernalia. But same time he started lamenting, what is the use of having this since I don't have a deity to wear, you know, put them on. So he was really lamenting throughout the night. He was he couldn't sleep, thinking, crying, feel so many feelings. And then Gopal Bhatt Goswami, next day morning, he came to, he was worshipping the salagram under a tree. So he came to see, and one of the salagram sila was formed like Krishna. A small salagram sila manifested on that night as Krishna, the three-folded with, you know, the hands like this. And Gopal Bhatt Goswami so got so surprised how that happened. But anyways, he knows the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that can happen anytime Krishna can manifest himself. So then he gave the name Radharaman Dev. So now when we go to Vrindavan, we see the Radharaman deity, that is by the request of Gopal Bhatt Goswami, the Lord manifests himself in a form of deity from Salagram Sila. So, as soon the senior Goswamis like Sanatan and Rupa Goswami heard, they came immediately to take darshan. Then, after Radharaman Dev appeared, then there was a big temple was built. So Radharaman Dev was worshipped. And one of his disciples, Gopal Bhatt Goswami's disciple, he took the responsibility of worshipping. Sometime Gopal Bhatt Goswami will worship, but mostly that Pujari will worship. So that's the way Gopal Bhatt Goswami's first time is. There is a lot to explain, but in a short time we can't explain so much. We'll stop here now. It's almost 8:20. Is there any question? Any comments? Yes, Mata.
Hare Krishna. Hi. Thank you, Prabhu. One deity sat down because Shrigadadhar Pandit could not worship anymore. And why did the Shalagram take the form of Radharaman? Why?
It's really hard to explain why.
I know why.
Please tell me.
It's because Gopal Bhatt Goswami was seeing all the other devotees having deities and worshipping them, and massaging them, and putting beautiful clothes on them. And he was desiring the same. He said, oh, I only have a shalagram, and I would so much love to be able to make clothes and to massage and to worship like that. And then
yes,
the shalagram took the form for this reason.
And also Krishna, he listens to his devotees. He says, Om Bhakta Paradhina. In the Ambarish case, when Durvasa Muni cursed him and wanted to kill him, so the Sudarshan was about to attack, killing Durvasa, and he was running all over the places to save his life. Finally, he came to Ambarish because he went to Krishna, and Krishna says that, Aham Bhakta Paradhina, I am totally dependent on my devotees, the great devotees, and you have committed the offense at Ambarish, I can't forgive you. You go ask forgiveness to Ambarish, and then only the forgiveness can be taken place. So the Lord is always sold to the devotees, the great devotees. And if they desire something, the Lord immediately fulfill their desire. So we can see Gadadhar Pandit's case as well as Gopal Bhatta Goswami's case. So that's the desire, yes.
Another devotee doesn't have a pressing question. I have one.
Yes.
About Sringi. Sringi, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit disproportionately with the offense. Maharaj Parikshit put a dead snake and Sringi cursed him to die. That was very disproportionate. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that it was the beginning of the degradation of the Brahmanas by Sringi. So yes. I just had this. What happened to Sringi? I mean, was he like an instrument so the Bhagavatam would be spoken and that was all forgiven, or he had to pay the karma for actually doing what he did, cursing Maharaj Parikshit?
As Prabhupada says, that's the beginning of the degradation of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas' qualities are samo, damo, tapo, saucha, shantir, arjavamevacha, jnanam, astikyam, vijnanam, brahma, karma, subhavacham. A Brahmanas' qualities are like that. Samo, damo, tapo, saucha. Samo means controlling the mind. Damo means controlling the senses. Saucha means cleanliness. If a person possesses all the qualities, they should not get angry. They should not curse anyone. And somehow Sringi has lost that quality that time. So Prabhupada was rightly saying that it was the degradation of the Brahmins. So, like I'm myself from a Brahmin family, but we didn't know so much. We didn't chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So what is the use of being a Brahmin family? That's useless. So, yes, that is the degradation.
So he had to pay karma for this. He was punished.
Of course. You are cursing a king who was protecting. The father of Sringi immediately sent a message to King Parikshit and with a great humility, he sent the message that, you know, my dear king, my foolish son, he didn't know anything. He committed a big offense at your lotus feet. Please forgive him. And, you know, here is the message that you are going to die in 7 days. So that's the message. And after hearing the message, King Parikshit immediately got out from the throne, left the throne like he doesn't know anyone around there. He thought that, okay, I have 7 days only time. What I'm going to do in these 7 days? So he started asking the suggestions from the great saints. And finally, Sukadeva Goswami helped at the end and the Bhagavatam was spoken. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
As far as I remember, I think I was doing some research last year. The father prayed for the well-being of Sringi to be excused. And then Sringi was crying himself, understanding that he made a fault. So as far as I understood, it's kind of nullified or something. Probably some reaction will be, but I cannot remember really. I think I found some hints that it was neutralized, nullified, all diminished in bigger degree is offense. So probably there's much more to it. But
also by the curse, he has lost all his power. Sringi has lost all his power. So there was a many netizens from Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they have given so many explanations on that. So, we'll okay, so we'll stop here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.